Well, hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we are continuing on in our sermon series called Ghost Stories. And all throughout the series, we're taking a closer look at stories of what the King James Version of the Bible refers to as the Holy Ghost, or as we more commonly say today, the Holy Spirit. But as we get started today, something that we all need to realize is that there is no such thing as a perfect person. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We're all still a work in progress. But even though we aren't perfect, that doesn't mean that God gives up on us. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work in everyone who follows Jesus, helping us to become more like Christ. So let's dive into this episode's sermon and start thinking about how that happens.
So there are certain stories that we have all been told since the time that we were kids. These are stories that our parents told to us because their parents told it to them, and we in turn tell these stories to our kids, like the story of the three little pigs. And I'm sure that you all remember the story of the three little pigs, right? But even though you've probably heard this particular story more times than you can count, I hope you don't mind if I retell the story one more time today. Right? And since we all know how every good fairy tale begins, I know that there's only one way to begin the story of the three little pigs. And that is, once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And these three little pigs needed to build their own homes. Well, the first little pig decides that he is going to build his house out of straw. And the second little pig decides he's going to build his house out of sticks. And the third little pig decides he's going to build his house out of bricks. Well, all three little pigs get to work, but it doesn't take real long for the first little pig to finish building his house because he built his house out of straw. And it doesn't take real long for the second little pig to finish building his house because he built his house out of sticks. So the first little pig and the second little pig, they get to sing and laugh and dance and play all day long while the third little pig is working and working and working all day to try to finish building his house out of bricks. Well, not too long after all three little pigs finished building their homes, the big bad wolf comes along. And the big bad wolf goes to the first little pig's house, and the big bad wolf says, "Little pig, little pig, let me in." And we all remember what the little pig says, right? The little pig says, "Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin." And the big bad wolf responds, "Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." Now, we've got to push pause on the story right here for just a minute, because when you reach this point in the story, there are a couple of different versions of what might happen. So in one of these versions, the first little pig goes fleeing to safety at the second little pig's house. And in the other version of it, the big bad wolf ends up with ham for supper. But we're in church, so we're going to stick with the more child-friendly version today. All right? So the big bad wolf says, "I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." And that's exactly what the big bad wolf does, because the first little pig's house is made out of straw. So the house gets blown over. The first little pig goes running, wee, 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 all the way to the second little pig's house. And the big bad wolf follows. The big bad wolf goes over to the second little pig's house, and the big bad wolf says, little pig, let me in." And the second little pig responds, "Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." And that's exactly what the big bad wolf does, because the second little pig's house is made out of sticks. So the first little pig and the second little pig go running, wee, 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 all the way to the third little pig's house. And the big bad wolf follows, and we go through the same thing again. The big bad wolf comes along and he says, little pig, let me in." And the third little pig responds, "Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." Only this time he can't do it. The big bad wolf can't blow down the third little pig's house because the third little pig built his house out of bricks. Now, once again, when we get to the very end of the story, there are a couple of different variations on what happens to the big bad wolf, but we'll just suffice it to say that nothing good happens to the big bad wolf at the end of the story, whereas the three little pigs get to live like all the heroes in fairy tales live. They live happily ever after. Very good. Well, like I said, to start this sermon, there are certain stories that have been passed down for generations. The kind of stories that our parents told to us because their parents told it to them, and we in turn tell these stories to our kids. And I think that there are at least a few different reasons why we have some of these stories that have been passed down for generations. And I think one of the reasons why we've passed down certain stories for generations is simply because they're fun to tell, right? I mean, I saw the way that y'all were reacting here inside of the sanctuary, if you're worshiping with us in person, when I broke out my big bad wolf voice and my wee little pig voice. All right, they're fun to tell, but that's only one of the reasons why we tell some of these stories. We also have been telling certain stories for generations because there are certain stories that help us teach our kids important lessons that we want them to learn. Or as we often put it, there are morals to these stories that we tell. And the story of the three little pigs is not an exception here. The story of the three little pigs allows us to teach our kids that we want them to do things the right way, not the fast way or the quick way. And that is an important lesson that we want our kids to learn when they're pretty young, because we don't want them to go rushing through their chores or rushing through their homework, because they'll do the same thing as they grow into adulthood as well. Or as I recently heard a former Navy SEAL put it, there's two ways that you can do anything, the right way or over. Think about that one for just a second. So we tell these stories because we want to teach our kids these important morals. But not everything that we learn from these stories is always so straightforward. And that brings me to the third reason why I think it is that we love to tell certain types of stories. And that is that stories have the power to allow us the ability to convey some abstract and some complex subjects in ways that are a little bit easier for people to grasp. It actually happens in the story of the three little pigs. Because the story of the three little pigs doesn't just tell us that we need to do things the right way instead of the fast way, but it also teaches us that our actions have consequences. And that's not always an easy thing for kids to learn. I mean, there is a reason why a whole lot of us have memories when we were kids about putting our hand on top of a hot stove burner. I mean, it did not matter how many times your parents told you, don't touch a stove burner, your fingers will burn. We didn't understand that our actions had consequences until we put our fingers on top of the burner for ourselves, and then we learned that lesson. But by telling stories like the story of the three little pigs, we can try to start teaching our kids that more abstract concept earlier on. Because they can listen to that story, and they can understand that that first little pig and that second little pig made bad choices. They decided that they were going to build their houses quickly so that they could play and have fun, but those choices had consequences. And the big bad wolf came along and blew their houses over, and depending on the version of the story, the little pigs either had to flee to safety or they got eaten. So that helps our kids start to learn that actions have consequences. So that's another reason why we tell stories. We tell stories because they allow us to help simplify these abstract concepts. They help us explain to our kids things that are harder for them to understand. Or to put it another way for you, stories have a way of making the complex simple. We tell stories because stories have a way of making the complex simple. And that's why last week here at Melbourne Heights, we started into a new series of sermons called Ghost Stories. Now, I know that for a lot of you, when you hear the word ghost stories, you can't help but to think about the kind of stories that you used to tell around campfires about supernatural specters or spooky beings or those sorts of things. But those aren't the kind of stories that we're talking about throughout the series. No, throughout this series, we're taking a closer look at stories of what the King James Version of the Bible refers to as the Holy Ghost. But when the King James Version of the Bible was originally translated a little over 400 years ago, the word ghost didn't mean the same thing that the word ghost means today. 400 years ago, in the early 1600s, when the King James Version of the Bible was first being translated, the word ghost referred to the living essence of a being, which is something that we would more commonly refer to today as someone's spirit. So throughout this series, what we're doing is we're taking a closer look at some stories about the Holy Spirit. And we're looking at these stories Because the Holy Spirit, well, it can be hard for us to understand. It can be hard for us to grasp exactly who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works in our world and in our lives. So we need stories to help us better understand who the Holy Spirit is. So today I wanted to take a look at another story about the Holy Spirit that's going to show us an important aspect of who the Holy Spirit is. And the story that I want us to look at today is the story of two men, one named Peter, the other named Cornelius. And we find their story in Acts chapter 10. So if you've got a Bible close by or a Bible app on your phone, I'd encourage you to open it up to Acts chapter 10. But as you're finding it, we need to take a little bit of time so that I can give you some background information so we can really appreciate what's happening inside of this story. All right, so before we dig into the story, you need to understand that in the early church, the majority of believers in the early church were still Jewish. So these were people who believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that believed that Jesus had come to save them from their sins, but they also continued to want to observe Jewish laws and Jewish customs. So most people in the early church had no problem believing that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel, but they weren't so convinced that Jesus had come to save the entire world. So they didn't spend a lot of time sharing the good news of Jesus beyond people who were Jewish. And Peter is no exception to this story. Peter is a devout Jew, and he's also one of Jesus' first and closest friends and closest followers, one of Jesus' first disciples. But even though Peter is one of Jesus' closest friends and closest followers, he still never really wanted to have much to do with Gentiles, with people who weren't Jewish. Peter tried to avoid contact with these Gentiles because Peter had grown up his entire life being taught that Gentiles were unclean. And if Peter came into contact with someone who was unclean, that made Peter, in turn, unclean. And if Peter was unclean, that meant that he was no longer able to enter into the temple of God. And if he couldn't enter into the temple of God, then he couldn't have anything to do with God. So by coming into contact with someone who was unclean, Peter would be separated from God. So Peter believed that it was his mission to go out and spread the good news of Jesus with his fellow Jews, but not so much with anyone else. So as we first encounter Peter at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, we know that at this point in time, Peter believes that God's love is limited. At the beginning of Acts chapter 10, Peter believes that God's love is limited to certain people, specifically people like him. But as Acts chapter 10 plays out, God is going to challenge this assumption that Peter has made through the Holy Spirit. And he's going to do that by an encounter that Peter will have with Cornelius. So Cornelius is a Roman centurion. He is a Roman soldier. He is a Gentile, the kind of person that Peter doesn't ordinarily want anything to do with because he would think that Cornelius is unclean. But Cornelius also happens to be what the Jews would refer to as a God-fearer, which means that Cornelius believes in the same God that the people of Israel believe in, but he hasn't fully converted to Judaism yet. So in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is going to have this vision. And in this vision, Cornelius is going to be told that he needs to go and he needs to find Peter. But at the same time that Cornelius is having this vision that tells him he needs to find Peter, Peter is having a vision of his own, but Peter's is a little bit weirder. Peter's vision involves a whole bunch of animals that show up on like a giant bedsheet. And all of these animals have something in common. Every animal that Peter sees in his vision are animals that were unclean according to Jewish law. These are all animals that the people of Israel were not allowed to eat because they were deemed to be unclean. But in this vision that Peter has, God speaks to him and God tells Peter to kill and to eat. Now, ordinarily, when God tells you something, you probably shouldn't argue with God, right? I mean, we would all agree with that. That doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. But Peter's going to argue with God. God's going to tell Peter to kill and to eat, but Peter's like, uh-uh, not going to do it, God. It's not going to happen. I am a devout Jew. Nothing unclean has ever passed over my lips in my entire life. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 15, God speaks to Peter and God tells Peter, never consider unclean what God has made pure. Now, as Peter is still wrestling with what he has seen in this vision, messengers arrive from Cornelius at Peter's home, and they ask Peter to come and meet Cornelius. Now, ordinarily, Peter would have said no. He would have refused to go and meet with Cornelius simply because Cornelius was a Gentile. But that's not exactly what happens in Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit is already starting to work on Peter inside of this story. So as we keep reading in Acts chapter 10, I want us to pick up in verse 19 and see what happens next. So Acts chapter 10, verse 19, we're told, while Peter was brooding over the vision, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, interrupted him. Look, three people are looking for you. Go downstairs. Don't ask questions. Just go with them because I have sent them. Pretty clear message from God, right? But Peter still doesn't fully comprehend what's happening here. But the Holy Spirit is opening up Peter's heart and his mind to something new. So even though he ordinarily never would have went to meet with Cornelius just because Cornelius was a Gentile, Peter agrees to go. He goes with these messengers that Cornelius sent, and he arrives at Cornelius's house. And when he gets there, Cornelius tells him all about this vision that God had given to Cornelius, telling him to go and find Peter. And after that, Cornelius sits and he eagerly listens as Peter shares with him and his entire household the good news of Jesus. And while Peter is sharing the gospel with Cornelius and his entire household, something amazing happens. Something incredible happens. Something happens that Peter and the people that went with him on this trip never would have believed was possible. So picking back up in Acts chapter 10, I want to skip all the way down to verse 44, where we're told, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. So even though Cornelius' entire house was made up of Gentiles, even though Cornelius' entire house would have been people that Peter believed to be uncleaned, we're told in this passage that the Spirit of God came and fell on everyone in Cornelius' household, that the Spirit filled them up the exact same way that the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus' first followers, his closest friends, his disciples on the day of Pentecost. And Peter and the Jewish believers who had come with him on this trip, they were shocked. They could not believe what had happened. So down in verse 47, Peter goes on to say, these people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they? He directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay with them for several days. I cannot even begin to explain to you how monumental a moment this is in the history and in the story of our faith. Because at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, Peter believes that God's love is limited to certain people. But by the end of Acts chapter 10, Peter has learned that there are no limits to God's love. There are no limits to God's love. Period. So because of this encounter that Peter has with Cornelius, the door is opened up for people like Peter and the first followers of Jesus, the apostles, for all of us to go out and begin sharing the good news of Jesus with anyone and everyone without any exception whatsoever. This changes the story of our faith forever. But a little bit earlier on in the sermon, we were talking about the importance of stories and why we tell stories to begin with. And I told you that one of the reasons why we tell stories is because they have a way of making complex topics, subject matters, things that are hard for us to understand, a whole lot simpler. And that's what happens in this story about Peter and Cornelius and the Holy Spirit that we find in Acts chapter 10. This story actually helps us have a whole lot easier time understanding who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works in our world and really in our lives. And if you'll bear with me for just a minute, I think I can help you make sense out of all of this. So at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, we know that Peter believes that God's love is limited to certain people. And this is a belief that most folks in Israel would have had during that time. There were certain people that they believed were unclean. And they believed that if you interacted with someone who was unclean, that it made you unclean. And if you became unclean, you couldn't go to the temple and you couldn't worship God there. So you were separated from God because of these people that you interacted with. But even though Peter had been told his entire life that if he interacted with certain people, with these unclean people, that God would want nothing to do with him, Jesus showed Peter and all of his disciples time and time again that just wasn't true. All throughout Jesus' ministry on this earth, he interacts with people that the Jewish law said were unclean. During Jesus' ministry on this earth, Jesus ate with tax collectors, and he hung out with people that the Jewish law considered to be sinners. In a famous story, Jesus spends an entire afternoon sitting and talking with a Samaritan woman who is sitting by a well, and he shares with her the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus heals people who have leprosy. He heals people who are blind, who are deaf, who are unable to speak. Jesus even lays his hands on the dead so that he can raise them to life. So time after time after time, Jesus goes out and ministers to people that the Jewish law considered to be unclean. But even though Jesus is constantly ministering to people that the Jewish law says are unclean, Jesus never becomes unclean. Actually, Jesus' ministry has the opposite effect. Instead of making Jesus unclean and separating him from God, when Jesus ministers to all of these people that the Jewish law says are unclean, they're drawn closer to God. So when we think about where Peter is at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, the way that Peter feels about Cornelius and people like him, the way that Peter would treat people like Cornelius and folks like him, it's not hard to understand and figure out that Peter isn't acting very much like Jesus. But we, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to act like Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we are supposed to become more like Jesus in every aspect and every area of our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul tells us that we are to be imitators of Christ. And that is part of what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit works inside of us so that we can become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit works inside of us so that we can become more like Jesus. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for Peter in Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit is working inside of Peter, transforming Peter. The Holy Spirit is changing the way that Peter thinks about Cornelius and people like Cornelius. The Holy Spirit is opening up Peter's heart so that Peter can love Cornelius and everyone in Cornelius' household the same way that God loves us all. And the Holy Spirit does the exact same thing in your life. When we're not acting like Jesus, the Holy Spirit works to make us more like Jesus. When you and I aren't acting very much like Jesus, the Holy Spirit works in our lives to make us more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds so that we can see where we're falling short, where we're messing up, and it changes. The Spirit changes us from the inside out. Now, next week, when we come back together, we're going to spend some more time talking about exactly how the Holy Spirit goes about this work to help us become more like Jesus. But today, the first thing that you and I, we all need to understand is that we're just like Peter at the beginning of Acts chapter 10. We are all imperfect people. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all have times in our life where we don't act very much like Jesus. But we don't have to resign ourselves to being imperfect people. We don't have to resign ourselves to always messing up and always making mistakes. We don't have to resign ourselves to the fact that we're never going to be just like Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit wants to work inside of us. The Holy Spirit wants to come and transform us and change us and make us more like Jesus in every aspect and every area of our lives. So we are to become more like Jesus. And the Spirit wants to do that for us because you and I, we can't do it on our own. We can't become more like Jesus by ourselves. We need someone to help us to become more like Jesus. And that's part of what the Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit, when you are a believer, when you follow Jesus in your life, the Holy Spirit lives within you and is constantly at work inside of you, in your heart, in your mind, helping you to become more like Jesus. What you have to figure out is if you're willing to let the Spirit work. Are you willing to have your mind changed? Are you willing to have your heart changed? Are you willing to start seeing people differently than you have before? Are you willing to accept that God's love isn't limited to you or to people like you? The Spirit wants to work to make you more like Jesus, but you have to be willing to let the Spirit do His work. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, we are thankful for the story of Peter and Cornelius and what it teaches us throughout the story, God. The story shows us the important lesson that there are no limits to your love, God. And any time that we try to put limitations or restrictions on who you love, God, we're not following you. We're not acting like Jesus acted. We're not being the people that we were made to be, God. So my first prayer for us today, God, is that you open all of our hearts and minds and show us those people that we want to have limitations with, people that we want to believe you don't love the same way that you love us. And God, start expanding our hearts and minds to love them the same way that you do. God, we are also thankful inside of the story of Peter and Cornelius for what we learn about the Holy Spirit, knowing and understanding that the Spirit comes to make us more like Jesus. So God, I also pray that you allow all of us to open our hearts and our minds to let the Spirit work in us. Don't allow us to be so convinced that we're right that we ignore you. Don't allow us to have our hearts hardened to some people so much that we could never believe that you would love them. Don't allow us to continue to wander in darkness, but make us more like the light of the world, your Son, Jesus Christ. God, let the Spirit work in each of us to make us more like Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has helped you better understand who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit works in our lives to show us that we aren't perfect people, that there are things that we need to do to become more like Jesus. And if we're willing to do what the Spirit wants us to do, we can become the people God made us to be. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but we hope that you'll come back and join us next week. And if you subscribe to our podcast, that next episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. But until next time, I hope that you have a great week. We will be praying for you and see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.